It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
I'm good today. A little bit of a cough. Hopefully, I won't cough too much today.
Yeah, well, okay. Step outside. We'll run the controls by ourselves. Who knows what'll happen?
Doug's
here.
Tough. You just kick your right eye. Coughing, you're out.
Well, look, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. And our guest for today is Dion Mishler, who is CEO and founder of Inside Sales by Design. And I'll tell you, this is going to be a great conversation. Dion, just sitting across from you, you have the most infectious smile.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like I've been on happy pills all day just looking at you.
Good. Thank you.
Well, look, we're going to be talking about setting up a personalized sales plan. Well, before we do that, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999. I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for, oh my gosh, 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Well, look, let's get right into our program. Dion, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited about you being here.
Thank you.
Well, look, let's get some background here. Tell us a little bit about what you did before, what you're doing now.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you.
Absolutely. So I have actually been in sales and technology for the last 17 years, and I've been building for the last 8 specifically high-performing inside sales teams for technology companies here in Orange County. And I also, about October 2004, I went off and started my own sales consultancy, and with a heavy emphasis on coaching and really making sure everybody I spoke with and worked with knew how to use these wonderful things we were putting in place. So that led me to the journey of being able to really start focusing more on the training aspect.
You know, it is such a shame. Information is so available these days, whether it's in person, somebody training you, or whether it's stuff you're getting off the web. And
yep.
And it all makes sense, and I think I understand it all till I sit down and try to do it. So when you say you went off and you started coaching people, implementing the ideas is what's always
It's the hardest part, right? So for example, it would be, oh, absolutely, I know that I need to sell. Right. So coaching individual salespeople.
Right.
And great. Right. So they would go and they would get product training. And we've all done this. Right. I'm going to go sell XYZ widget. How? Where do I start? Right. I get it conceptually. I get the what. I need a how.
Yeah.
And I've discovered through my own journey that my how and how I present things and break things down really resonates with certain folks. And I love people and I love helping people. So for me, it was a really good pivot to be able to do that.
Well, I'm sure they love having you train them. So when you say you coach them, have you had any formal coaching training?
You know, I've been on the receiving end of some really great sales trainers and trainers in general. I've gone to different organizations, but I haven't gone through specific coaching programs to some extent.
We won't hold that against
you.
This program is, we're open to anybody. I mean, you've missed out on one of the key ingredients to success, but okay.
Yeah, I know. I read a lot. I know you do too. You were saying you read 3 to 4 books a week, and I try to do about one a month, and have definitely taken down the Covey books and a few others. So I think that's just as important to keep reading.
Okay, so let's launch into what are you doing now? Tell us about your business now.
Yeah, thanks. And so I launched Inside Sales by Design to work with companies and individuals looking to start an inside sales team. And then really working with individuals as well on, so in addition to that, working with individuals and working with a small and startup community here in Orange County. And so with that, I really focus on the coaching piece and setting out, before we even start getting into revenue in the door, what is the plan to achieve that goal?
Okay.
Yes. Step one.
Yes, I saw that in your quote when I asked you what you were going to talk about today. If you missed our newsletter, her quote was, plan your work and work your plan.
Absolutely, right? It's one thing, it's, you know, the new year rolls around and we all say, all right, I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to get in shape, or I'm going to work out, or...
You've been reading my mind.
I know, right? It's fairly straightforward. But it's one of those things of, and this is where the applicability comes in, that says, well, maybe, you know, if I want to start eating differently, I need to sit down and plan out a menu. Or if I'm going to start working out, I need to sit down and plan or calendar into my day when I'm going to go for a walk or go to the gym or whatever the case may be. And for a lot of us, we miss out on that planning piece.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about who are your clients? How do you find them? What's your ideal client?
Yeah, thank you. So I work with folks in the business community that are both founders and CEOs as well as individuals. And I do work with some individuals on creating their own sales plan and sales success plans.
Okay. And when you say you work with them to create a plan, once they've sort of worked with you and documented a plan, mm-hmm. and we'll get into that later, what that plan is, then what? You walk away and leave them?
No. Yeah. We, you know, for me, it's really about transference of ownership, right? And so the goal is to really get the student to become the master.
Ah, grasshopper.
Right. Yeah. And so it takes probably about 6 months or so, right, to really establish that, change the mindset a little bit, start changing some behavior, and really start working that plan. So, no, it's anywhere between 1 to 2 quarters of hands-on working with.
And just out of curiosity, who does your sales?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm terrible at the marketing side. I do all the sales stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your most successful sales story you can tell us?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Through my career, I've learned which part of the sales process I enjoy. So for just to kind of give a little bit of high level, right, there's the, I think most folks are familiar with the hunter-farmer term when it comes to the sales world, right?
Yeah.
You've got folks that are going to go out there and they're going to go find people and they're going to get them to say yes to talk to somebody else or close a deal, right? I am that person. I love going out and talking to people and finding people. And so I was working for a Microsoft partner here in Orange County, and I was making some outbound calls, looking to drive folks to an event we were having and set up an appointment, which then turned into the biggest customer we had in that particular market.
Wow.
And it was such a great journey to be on because it starts from this very, very small yes, and it grows to a big yes. And in my own business, it's been gratifying to go out and make relationships, right? As much as I gear up inside sales teams, there's value in being able to communicate energy and passion over the phone, but also that in-person piece of being able to be part of a community. So as an individual business owner, and when I work with individual coaches, and you'll see this next week, and Elisa Rita's on. She's amazing. And so from a personal standpoint, as a sole proprietor coach, it's so important because we don't have a team of folks in our corporate office.
Right.
We have to be connected to a community. We have to be connected to folks that will give us feedback that we can give to them. So that's the other part of that.
You know, you kind of made me think about the debate I've heard that we used to sell features and benefits, and today we sell relationships. Can you speak to that a little bit? What are they talking about there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the school of thought is because we are so connected socially, right, that if somebody's going to call me out of the blue, literally the first thing I do is see if they've looked at my LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
Right. And because I want to talk to somebody who's done their homework and is going to call and have a good conversation with me. Right. And because the rise of the internet, right, though, thank God Al Gore invented that we can now go online. And if I, as a business person, business owner, or consumer, are going to go shop for something, quite frankly, I can go look all that up. I can go to a store website. I can look on a Yelp review. I can find everything I need without ever having to talk to one of those darn salespeople, right? So it's not about features and benefits. It's really about the value of what I'm trying to solve by buying something.
Yeah. You know, when you mentioned you like to talk to people who have already looked at your LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. and are, you know, so many of my contacts are with people I've not physically met.
Right.
You know, we've been referred, we've emailed, yep. we've whatever. I've gotten to the point where when I get ready to make that first call to talk to them, I've literally pulled their picture mm-hmm. off of LinkedIn and yep. put it on their contact card that I have so that I feel like I'm talking mm-hmm. to a person.
Absolutely.
It makes a big difference to me.
It really does.
To look at a face.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Same thing. So that's the personalization almost that the technology has given us nowadays.
And you know, that is, I don't want to get sidetracked. That's such an interesting debate because so many people say we aren't connected because it's all technology. We don't physically connect with somebody. And yet, I think it's just the opposite. I think I have more contact with people because of technology mm-hmm. than if I had to rely on getting together with them.
Yeah, I think it's the context, right? So, I mean, if everybody's going to get together and go out to dinner and do nothing but stare at their phones, why bother?
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's the medium by which we are choosing to connect at a certain point in time. Right. But to your point, for those of us that are sole proprietors, or if you're a frontline rep in a company and you're trying to build a relationship with somebody, mm-hmm. the avenues to do that now are numerous and plentiful that people want to be contacted a certain way.
Great. Well, look, I can't wait to get into the plan. But yeah. before we do, I always ask, I've asked all of our guests this question. Never got a duplicate answer yet,
okay.
so I'm crossing my fingers. What's your guiding principle?
It's such a good question, and for me, it's my guiding principle is to do business with as much integrity as I can, and just be authentic and honest in the nicest possible way. So that's my guiding, my North Star. More than anything.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks.
You know, it is such a change. If we went back to the 50s, 60s, business was thought of as a cutthroat thing.
Yes.
Just the opposite of what you just said. You want to do business in the nicest way with people.
Absolutely. And you know, it's not confusing nice with telling people what they want to hear, right? There's a difference. A very smart person I listened to once said, if you're right plus rude, you're still wrong.
I like that.
Right.
I'll remember that one.
And it struck me, right? Because there's a nice way to say to somebody, you know what, that's a really good idea. But all the research out there contradicts what you just said. So yeah. we should talk about that.
Well, look, let's get into some of this.
Yeah.
How do you make money?
Yeah, yeah. So when I talk with folks and it's, hey, I need some help coaching. I need to drum up business. Right? Or I need to make my number. Great. What is your plan to do that? How do you currently make money? Oh, wait, what do you mean? I sell services. Okay. So let's talk about that. What services are you selling?
Mm-hmm.
How are you selling them? How are they being delivered? Right? There's a cascade of questions that come to that because it's making money is a result of doing all the other things right.
Okay. I like that because so often I hear sales people talk about the fact they don't want to do anything other than have the conversation that rings the cash register.
Yeah.
Which is like the end last thing.
Yeah.
And in today's world, how do you don't get there initially.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
And that's what I hear you saying, is that...
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even as a consumer, right, I may go, oh, I'm going to go buy something, with towels or a car.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some shopping, right? And if I'm a business and I'm going to buy services, I'm in the same boat, right? So people make decisions differently, right? There are folks that make decisions with just enough information, and then there are folks that will agonize years before doing anything, right? So we need to be aware of how people make decisions. But again, we keep in mind that getting a customer to say yes to something is a result, the one that really only matters to CEOs, right? But
right.
It's really the result of all the other things that we have done right. We have respectfully communicated with our potential customer. We have listened attentively. We have answered their questions. We have not confused them, right? So there's this overarching framework when it comes to communication. And so when I talk with folks and say, how do you make money? Right. So businesses exist for a reason.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And what does that look like? And what is that path to monetization?
Okay. So how you make money might be the final step.
Mm-hmm.
What is it you sell or service you deliver?
Mm-hmm.
But the path to that is all of the prep work involved.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm understanding you right.
Mm-hmm. So it may be, well, we sell a widget or we sell services. Okay, that's great. So let's talk about what that ends up looking like. So here are all the steps. And if you're an individual, do you also have a book, an ebook they can download if you're a sole proprietor, right? Not only are you going to work with this person or this potential customer on engaging in your services and you've packaged those nicely, right? So when we talk about monetizing, we need to give thought to, just as you were saying, well, Dion, if you work with folks, you know, you give them a plan and say goodbye, right? So part of monetizing our plan, right, is then to say, not only am I going to sell these services, but here's what that ends up looking like, right? It's this is the package. So, and here's how I'm going to present it to people. It's an initial kickoff meeting with 6 weeks worth of heads down work with another 6 weeks of maintenance, right? And then, oh, by the way, I have this great ebook that you should also participate in. I'll include that in the proposal. Right. Or I'm building out an online course that I think you would also find beneficial. Right. So it's when we start talking about that monetization journey for folks, we need to remember it's in the context, very importantly, of value to the buyer and also tying into the plan,
mm-hmm.
and that it's a result.
Okay, let me take you back for a minute. What is the role that the ebook or the online plan plays in this sales process?
Mm-hmm. So when we look at that, we want to be able to understand what's important to our potential customer.
Right.
Right. So maybe they go, you know what, I'm just not ready to engage with you as a coach. Okay. Completely understand. You might also then be interested in an ebook. Right. If you want to do it yourself, and hopefully as ebooks are written, it's written with some good takeaways and action items. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that might appeal to that person. So it's really about, even as a sole proprietor, is what is your arsenal of offerings to the community, right, to your prospects, to your customers?
You know, it kind of reminds me of a book I read. And it was talking about the rules of networking.
Mm-hmm.
And it said one of the first rules of networking is not what the person can do for you, but find out what you can do for the person and mm-hmm. offer it.
That, yep.
That's the initial step in networking. Now you've really connected. That sounds like you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about value, right? And not always, right? We don't want to come across as making that offer too early, right? You don't want to go up to somebody and ask them to marry you. You maybe want to go on the first date, right? So dating is a good analogy with sales. But, you know, so maybe you're not going to necessarily sell your ebook, but maybe you give it away to folks, right? So it's really about the first steps in cultivating a relationship.
Okay. A gift.
Yes.
A gift.
Gifts are great. People love getting gifts.
And a gift that relates to...
that they can find value in.
What you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, we're going to take a break here for a quick commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk about the plan.
Yeah.
But don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back with Dion Mishler, and we're talking about Inside Sales by Design, her company. You know, we were just chatting on the break here that, you know, I was kind of thinking as you were talking earlier, Dion, that sales for somebody starting sales that hadn't done sales. But we were just talking about the fact that people maybe who've had a sales process for years,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's no longer relevant to the environment today?
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage everybody, and myself included, right? We all love comfort, right? Some of us love nothing better than a good rut. And we need to make sure we're building in checkpoints with ourselves, or get somebody, a good friend, get a coach, get somebody to kind of look at what's going on and look at that process and see if it still holds true, right? So a company that is just starting off selling a product, taking it to market, maybe giving it away, right? The term out there now is a freemium version, right? We're going to give this great product away for free because we need customers on our platform, right?
Yeah.
And we need logos and we need users. Well, over time, that's going to change. And there's a handful of really good companies here in Orange County that are doing that are making this amazing transition to growing up in that way and changing it. And they have the knowledge and foresight to look at that sales process. And as an individual, when we're out there selling or putting our services out in the market, I think we need to remember to give ourselves a pat on the back to do, number one. And number two, again, it goes back to those relationships of, here's what I'm doing in my business. Here's what I found. Here's what I think might need to change.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You got to keep up. Yeah.
Okay. So a monetization path plan.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what that is. What's it look like?
Yeah.
How do I get it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it really does start with what is the end result look like? And so again, if it's selling a certain package of coaching, or is it selling a consulting engagement, right? Whatever the case may be, what does that look like? Again, so maybe if I start off, you know what, all I have is a package I'm going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as time progresses, have you written that book? Have you started a blog? Have you been on a radio show?
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I'm so tired of people coming here and telling me to write a book. What about the radio business?
You can do the radio business. You can do videos, right? So that's kind of the next trend, is doing really short videos and putting them out there, right? And so when we start talking about a path to monetization, it's what are the steps in your journey that you're going to take in order to achieve the goal of revenue in the door?
And in your experience, is that sort of, okay, so let's say I sell coaching services. Am I going to have the same steps if I'm selling coaching services to you personally that I would have if I was selling them to XYZ company with 300 employees? Or is it tailored to the client, or do you have to segment this in ways?
You have to segment it. I recommend keeping it as simple as possible, because we do live in a complex world and we need simple. And so when we're looking at this, we may go, you know, my overall plan is to start with networking events.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write articles and post on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case may be. I'm going to appear on on radio shows. I am going to sign up for speaking engagements. I'm going to do webinars. That's kind of the tip of the iceberg when we start talking about a monetization path. From there, what we're doing is the old school sales funnel, right? Ducks on a pond. Yeah. Ducks on a pond. And again, really wanting to engage with people that will ultimately be a fit with and for, right? Because it's all about the value nowadays. It always has been, but now it really is. And so, you know, when we start talking about that path, it's determine for yourself where you need to put yourself. Where do you need to be spending your time, your effort, your energy? Carla Harris calls it your time, talent, and treasure.
Oh.
And where do you need to be, right? And then from there, to your point, yes, you should absolutely then drill down and be a little bit specific, right? Because talking with an individual will be different than an individual buying your services would be different than a company buying your services.
You know, it kind of reminds me when I was building homes, when I had a building company, we would sit down with the architect and we would describe to the architect the family that was going to buy this house so that he could design it. This was going to be two working heads of household, 2.3 children with a pet that blah, 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 you know, a hobby room, blah, whatever it was. And then we would design the house for that consumer, knowing full well that ultimately when we sold the house, only a minor portion of the buyers would fit that exact profile, that there were outliers both sides of that spectrum. So you kind of, and I hear so many people saying, well, I can't design a sales program because I sell to so many different people, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you have to sort of pick, this is what my ideal customer looks like?
Yes.
And go for it.
Yes. Yes. On the business side, there's a great company by the name of Kite Desk, and they help with lead generation. And in they have a blog post that I think is applicable to for individuals, and it talks about creating your ideal customer profile.
Oh, okay.
And it's fantastic because it talks about who ideally could use your services, right? And then it drills down into, you know, the age-old question of what challenges pertain to these people. What are their main issues? What are they trying to solve, right? So from a consumer standpoint, you know, there's a lot of folks nowadays where both parents are working and the kids are doing, you know, they've got more social activities than we do. And I'm interested in time.
Yeah.
I need time. So that's what's going to be important, right? So if you're selling into a company in a C-level, it's revenue, it's profitability, it's margin, it's company culture, right? So you have to have your ideal customer profile. And if I'm going to get a little convicting here, because it's not everybody's a fit. Because at the end of the day, not everybody gets along with everybody else, right? There are style differences. That doesn't mean we do not like. Right?
Okay.
We have to be respectful of everybody. But at the end of the day, sometimes there's a style difference where maybe, you know what, I don't want somebody that's going to be brusque, right? So it just depends on culture, right? So if you are a person, you know, like me, that I'm super high energy and I'm excited.
Oh, really?
And I'm on my toes. Right, that doesn't mesh with some folks that are like, oh, that's too much for me. I can't do that. And that's okay, right? We have to be aware of that. And the reverse is true, right? So we have to be aware of the qualities that we're bringing to the table that are part of our service offerings, quite frankly. And again, just kind of be aware of that.
You know, that's interesting. You just made me think of something I've never thought about before, and that is I just have finished, since it's the first of the year, a round of strategic planning meetings
that's
with
great.
Companies. And in every single one of them, they talked about the company culture,
great.
The culture within the company doors and with the employees. We never once talked about the culture that the outside client, customer, sees and what their culture is, how that fit that you just talked about. I don't think I've heard much about that before.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. I've heard it, you know, on the front line, right?
Yeah.
As talking with customers, where if I've worked predominantly for some smaller mid-sized organizations that were definitely more assertive in nature, right? And so that fits me too.
Sure.
And we would talk with folks that maybe were in an industry that was a little bit more tried and true, right? So sometimes the banking industry, no offense to bankers, right? But again, it's one of those things of, oh no, we don't do business that way. We're more conservative, and this is how we approach things.
Right.
So it's not bad, and it's not something we should look to put out there as an objection block for ourselves. It's part of our offering that says, listen, here's what I'm going to bring to the table. I'm going to bring high energy. I'm going to bring forward momentum. I'm going to bring a can-do attitude. Does that fit with what you're looking for?
You know, and that so ties in with when I asked about your guiding principle, you said one of the things you mentioned was the need to be authentic. And that's what you're talking about, is to be authentic about who you are in finding the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
Have we talked about the ideal customer profile? I think
this is what we're talking about, and that blog post is really good, and if you go out to Google, I'm sure if you type in how to create an ideal customer profile, it's the same thing, and it's not only what the offering is, it's also how it's being delivered, right? And so it's just making sure that is spot on, because from there you can absolutely go, okay, so if this is my ideal customer profile, now we're back to our monetization path that talks about where should I be spending my time.
Okay.
It all ties in.
Okay. How do you acquire customers?
That's a good question.
No, everybody wants to know the answer to that. Where do I find them? How do I make their contact? How do I get in the door? How do I get them to answer my calls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got the secret sauce?
maybe. probably not. It's honestly, it's consistency. And again, it goes back to what's my plan? How do I get there? Who's my ideal customer? So now I know where to put myself. I know what I'm offering. I think I know that this particular group would find this offering valuable. So now I need to show up.
Okay.
So when we talk about acquiring customers, we're really talking about, are you where, a friend of mine put it this way, I need to go where the eyeballs are.
Yeah.
Right? So if you prefer working with small, mid-sized companies and the entrepreneur community, what is the plan to identify those particular networking groups in your particular market for your particular industry and demographic, and then go? And then from there, it's also, are you publishing articles? Are you on a radio show? Are you out there tweeting? Are you on Facebook? Pick your social media lane. Right. And so it all ties in again, where who's your ideal customer? What are you offering? And where are those people going to be? And then as you show up, do you have something? What is your proposition? Right. What's your value proposition to folks? Because you're going to go to those networking meetings and everybody wants to know what everybody else is doing.
Right.
Great. You know what, Doug? It's so nice to meet you. What do you do?
And if it sounds like what everybody else does, you're not interested.
Right. Well, and then
so there's that twist on it. Not only my sales proposition, what's my unique sales proposition?
Absolutely. Yeah. The UVP, what's my unique value proposition? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That talks about that. And, you know, from there, you can take it a step further. Oh, can I speak? Are you looking for speakers or are you looking for additional help? Right. So it really depends on, one, your bandwidth, of course, but, and two, finding the right groups and then really digging in and getting involved.
So the impression I'm developing here is it's not all about making the sale, getting the contract signed today. It's about making the relationship work so that we understand each other's offerings and needs. Mm-hmm. And if it's right, then we will get the sale. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're driving to?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You know, I want you to comment on this, too, because I recently sat in a meeting with a company, and they were talking about how do we acquire customers? You know, where do we go find customers? And what they realized is that they had a whole department of people who took orders from existing customers, but all they did was take the orders when they were called in. And those people had not been trained to do any selling. So it wasn't about how do I acquire new customers, it was how do I acquire more business from my existing customers. You want to talk about that for a little bit? I noticed you just about fell out of your chair
I did. and that's a great point. And what we're seeing now is the rise of a role called customer success.
Okay.
And that's exactly it. A lot of companies are making that transition. They go, gosh, we're a great company. We've got this great base of customers that they keep coming back. Some companies that I have colleagues working at have how do you morph that into kind of an Amazon-style purchase? Oh, for customers that have purchased this, you might also like this.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not looking at it as selling. We are looking at more as customer retention and the customer experience. So Because if you say to your customer relationship people that are taking those orders, hey, right. Now we're going to turn you into salespeople and here's a quota, they're all going to quit.
Oh, yeah. They panic. I don't do sales.
Right. Well, yeah. You do.
Yeah. No, but right? In their mind, that happens on the used car lot. I don't do that.
Exactly. So a lot of companies are really in that position of going, gosh, we've got this great install base of customers. How do I take that business up a level? And you do that by coaching. You do that by putting some training in place. You do that by very slowly so you don't have folks abandoning the ship that are really, really vital to your organization, encouraging them to communicate in a different way with their customers.
I had a client who realized that he frequently had customers in his office sitting in the reception area waiting for a meeting or waiting to see somebody. And there was a perfect opportunity if they trained the receptionist to be able to engage in conversation and provide real information mm-hmm. about the company and its products and services yep. in a very non-threatening way, because the person's captured there anyhow.
Yeah.
And they found it tremendously successful.
Absolutely. There's the right way to approach all of these situations. There's a great book by Dan Pink. He wrote, it's called To Sell as Human.
Okay.
It is a fabulous book. And it really calls out whether we like it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, and oh, by the way, just because we don't want to acknowledge something doesn't mean it's not true, right? That we are in sales, right? So whether it's our kids coming to us trying to cajole 5 more minutes, right, before going to bed, or a toy or a dress at the store, or, you know, one of us trying to get a new client or a rep on the phone, or accounting trying to purchase new software, we're all in sales. And so that's a great book. There's another one, super easy read, called The Asking Formula by John Baker. And those are the two books that I have anybody I come in contact with read. And The Asking Formula is a great parable-style 80-page book that really breaks it down to exactly what we're talking about. It's a great methodology of what is it that I'm going to ask my prospect or customer to do. What are the reasons? What are their best reasons? What problem are we solving? Right? And so it's just a great example and a very easy read of how to do that.
Okay, so speaking of great examples, audience, you can't listen to this now, Dion. The audience, you've just seen in motion her practicing what she told us. She's telling us about what she does, which means she's selling you. But in the process, she's given us 2 books, 1 website, all kinds of information that says, go find out more about this. I'm not worried you won't come back to me.
Correct.
I'm not afraid that you'll read the book and not need my services.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't be afraid of that. Right? So the more we give away and help our customers, I've been doing that. I'm a firm believer in that. I had a company that I'd been talking with now for 4 months. Call me yesterday, twice, and twice today. We have a project, and we'd love to work with you. I've been wanting to work with you. Thank you so much for all the other resources you've sent our way. So it's really the give to give. It's not give to get. It's really give to give. So, yeah.
Okay. Does that lead us into retaining customers?
Absolutely. That's exactly it, right? It's really about how are we being a resource, right? So we know our plan. We know our ideal customer. We know where we need to show up. We know how to network. We know what we're offering. We know how to present that. And now we're going to talk about retaining customers, right? So it's as those customers come on board and you say, we're going to do an initial 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks of coaching, or we're going to sell this initial product, right? Once that initial 12 weeks is up, then what? And part of that, and you, Doug, were sharing that you've got some really long-term customers, is the value that we are providing to our customers.
Okay, so I'll confess, I am not comfortable with selling. So what I do is once I have a customer, mm-hmm. I do everything in the world I can to keep offering them new services, find new ways to help them, so I don't have to go out there and sell to another stranger.
Yeah, which is smart because it's also very expensive, right, to gain new customers than it is to keep your current customers.
Current customers are wonderful. We're already both educated in what works and what doesn't work.
Absolutely. And so that's exactly the right thing to do, right? You just keep building value in and okay, yeah, we're done with our coaching right now. However, you know what, go to these webcasts and we should check in again or, right? You have to build in when you're offering the solution, the goal is X, right? Yeah. So we're going to engage in a project. Great. Our goal is X. Over the course of X amount of weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, have we achieved those goals?
Well, we're getting close to the end here. Yeah. So let's see. I got the impression that once or twice you mentioned you need a plan.
Yes. Yeah.
And you need to work your plan.
Yes.
And if you have a plan and you've had it for a long time, you better review your plan and see if it's still relevant.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
What other key points?
Gosh.
Yeah, go ahead. Distill years of experience into answering Doug's quick question.
but we all want that, right?
Yeah, I know. We all want the what's the three things I can do to be successful?
Drink more water, eat veggies, and get sleep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I got two out of three.
Yeah.
You know, I prepared some notes as far as some next steps for folks because I'm a big fan of, that's awesome, that's great information, what do I do with it? And I would share with everybody that you have to start. And it might be a train wreck for some folks. It might be painful. It might be hard. Keep going. And so I would say from a next step standpoint, get out two sheets of paper. And on one sheet of paper, write your goals. Just brainstorm. What are your goals? Do you want a new car? Do you want a new house? Do you want to buy a dog? Do you want to move? Do you want to sign up new clients? Do you want to figure out what I'm selling and how I'm selling it? Do I want to keep my current customers? Do I want to tackle a new market? Whatever the goals are.
Okay.
And then on your second sheet of paper, you want to basically, I'm a fan of turning it into landscape, as you see here.
Yes.
And drawing two lines so you make a grid. So you are separating the paper into four squares.
Okay.
One for each business quarter. And in each section, what are the goals? And so if the end of Q1, your goal may be, I want to have my distinct value proposition memorized, right? Or I want to attend 8 appropriate networking events. I want to make 16 new contacts. I want to consistently publish a blog post. I want to appear on a radio show. So separate out quarter by quarter. I would recommend also keeping it at 3.
Okay.
Otherwise, it gets a little crazy. And looking at those things, if you are self-driven and accountable, be your own accountability partner or share your plan with somebody and have them help you be accountable to your plan. And then from there, execute. Do it. Sign up for your networking events. Schedule time to do your writing. I have to go to the library to write. I can't do it in my home, right? So I go to the library with all the college kids, you know, and
they still have libraries?
They do.
Really?
They do. They're very nice.
Real books?
Yes, real books. So it's really about step one is, what is it you want to accomplish? And step two is, I'm a big fan of the quarterly planning.
Yeah, I like that.
Right? Because it can get on and on, and next thing you know, it's Christmas, and the craziness starts all over. Is, by the end of March, where do you want to be? And then, by the end of June, what does that look like? And the cool thing is you're able to do a retrospective very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, yes. Thank you very much, not only for the information, but for the next steps.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sort of whet our appetite. Now you told us what to do to get started.
Yep.
And let's see, if I'm not comfortable with all of that, how do I get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And
what do we look up on LinkedIn?
Dionne Mishler, D-I-O-N-N-E, like Dionne Warwick, for those of you that remember. And Mishler, M-I-S-C-H-L-E-R.
Okay. And what else? Anything else you wanted to say today that you didn't get in or...
Yeah.
That I talked over you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Thank you. I would just, you know, there's a great quote, too, that talks about change the plan, but never the goal. And if the goal is to be a world-class speaker on coaching or sales or sports, right, I would say make your goal as specific as possible. And then execute, and maybe along the way you go, gosh, you know what? I don't want to be a speaker on sports. I want to be a speaker on broadcasting. Right? You'd be amazed at by having that plan, by going and networking, by making the contacts, by being out there and providing value in what we're doing. We build relationships with people, and we have a ton of grace and mercy with those relationships, because we give that to people, we get that from people, and the support that you get from not only your friends and family, right? That's mm-hmm. definitely a given. We work just as hard at that as we do our business relationships. But the support that we get from our networking, our colleagues, and our relationship is just over the moon impactful. And so the more we engage with that, the more we bring that solidarity back to our home, the better off we are.
Okay. Dionne, thank you very much
you.
For a fascinating conversation, for great tips.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have to have you back again and give us a tune-up, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, look, if you've been listening, boy, this has been an exciting conversation. If you noticed in your newsletter, next week we're going to have Susan Sherbert, author and speaker, talking about unlocking the power of childlike thinking. And then on the 18th, we're going to have Lisa Reed here, speaker and trainer, with the three keys to turning your wishes into reality.
Nice.
So those are... And it just keeps going on as we go further and further into the year. We've got some great guests. Well, look, this is Doug Gefeller thanking you for joining our radio show today, hoping that you enjoyed it, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately. That's the key here. We don't want to just give you information. We want you to use it, hopefully to identify and achieve your goals. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.